Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are moving along in our study of the second epistle of John. A very short epistle, one chapter long, 12 verses long. one chapter, 12 verses. And yet it packs a big punch. There are some really important items in this epistle, and we'll be looking at them as we get into the body of the epistle. But we are still looking at the opening as a way of getting our minds around the background and details that are important, I think, for us to understand fully the message that is conveyed. And most of that is found in the first two verses, which say, "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." Now, this is the opening, the salutation, where customarily in an epistle or a letter, the author identifies first himself and then secondly the recipients. And we've seen that. John is the author, though he identifies himself as the elder. That's important, but we've already covered it, so we move on. The recipients are identified as the elect lady and her children, and that also is a little bit mysterious, but I have personally come to the conclusion that he's talking about a church in this language. It sounds a little bit mysterious. It sounds a little bit strange to us, but I think in that day it would have been clearly understood as not so much code language, but just common symbolic language. Some symbols are common to the people that use them, and therefore don't sound mysterious at all, but to people who are not accustomed to them, they sound rather mysterious, and that is the case here because we're not accustomed to this. But John is writing to a local church that he refers to as the elect lady and her children. Those are the recipients. But there are some other things to consider, particularly the relationships that are indicated by this opening address, and so we'll look at those today. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, April 11, and thank you for remembering that we are dependent upon the gifts of God's people in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Well, what are the relationships that are indicated here? And we learn something of the recipient's relationships to John, and then secondly, the recipient's relationship to other believers, and that leads us to understand the foundation of Christian relationships. And I think you would agree that that's important. We do have a relationship with other members of God's church, of Christ's body. We know we have that relationship, but again, that relationship is not always clear, and working it out becomes challenging at times, and we need to understand as much truth as we can about these relationships. So the recipient's relationship to John is described in that phrase, "whom I love in truth," to the elect lady and her children, "whom I love in truth." This tells us at least something about John's relationship to them. It centers around truth. I'm tempted to say this explains why John has a relationship to them, and I think that is correct. I don't think I'm saying too much when I say this explains the why, but some might say, well, that's not specifically stated, and I would agree, but I do think that's what's indicated. But nevertheless, if it's not the reason why, it certainly is an important factor. These people are dear to John. He loves them. They're dear to John, but he loves them because of truth. That's the common relationship between John and these recipients, this church, and its members. It is truth that binds them together. Well, what are the recipients' relationship to other believers? They relate to John because of truth. They relate to John around truth. They relate to John in the realm of truth. But what is their relationship to other believers beyond John? And it turns out to be the same thing. He says, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all those who have known the truth. So, others love the same church, the same people that John loves, and for the same reason. Not I only, but also all those. You see, I'm not the only one who loves them, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. And here we get a because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. So, picking up that phrase, I don't think I have strayed by saying this is the reason why John has such a strong and important relationship with these people. It's because of truth. Now, this suggests that this church, and it, because of the way he puts it, the elect lady and her children, I talk about the church and its members, recognizing that, in a sense, that's saying the same thing in two different ways. The church is not different from its members, and the members are not different from the church, but we often speak of, in the same kind of language, we think in the same kind of language. We talk about a church, and then we talk about the members of the church, and don't always make it clear that they are one and the same, because though we recognize that they're one and the same, we sometimes view them from a little bit different perspective, and I won't go into that. But John is making it clear that these people had a reputation beyond their own local community. They were a local church that adhered to the truth, and that endeared them to John, but their adherence to truth was known beyond their own community, and so there were others who knew that as well. They had a reputation as those who are, well, what should I say? Those who believe the truth, those who embrace the truth, and those who proclaim the truth, those who love the truth. And so, this is important. This is what ties together believers. People have lots of concepts of Christian relationships and why we ought to all recognize the relationship that believers have to one another. And there's a lot of emphasis upon unity and decrying the disunity and promoting lobbying for stronger expressions of unity, stronger exercise of unity among Christians in the body of Christ, but so oftentimes without any emphasis upon truth. This section would indicate to us that that's where we ought to begin. If we recognize the importance of a strong relationship between all followers of Jesus Christ, if we ought to have a relationship with others in the body of Christ, then what should that relationship be based upon? Truth. What I have observed is that oftentimes those who are most emphasizing the importance of Christian unity are also the ones who most de-emphasize the importance of truth, and in some cases are actually undermining and denying the truth that enables us to be joined together, and without which makes that impossible. The Bible does not condone a unity which is not based upon truth. The Bible does not condone Christian unity that ignores, to put it another way, doctrine. Now, I realize whenever you start getting into the subject of doctrine, then the question comes up, how much doctrine do we have to believe alike in order to share Christian unity? And that is a challenging question. And that is not easily answered. That's going to take some exploration. But let's start with the foundation, at least. And then we can go beyond it. We can build upon it. We can explore beyond it. We can discuss how much truth is necessary to have a relationship. And I let me just go ahead and give you my opinion on that. I think it's clear that what we would often call the fundamentals of the Christian faith are essential for any kind of a meaningful relationship between believers. I cannot consider myself to be a fellow member of the body of Christ with someone who denies the deity of Christ. How is that going to work? He calls himself a Christian, but he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh. Is he a Christian? In my understanding of the Bible, no, he's not. It's a counterfeit claim. So how can I be united with someone who denies an essential doctrine that is required in order to belong, in order to be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? You can't follow Jesus Christ if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. That is the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And it is not appropriate, it is not sufficient to manufacture your own definition of who Jesus is and say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but of course the Jesus I follow is different from the Jesus you follow. Well, if the Jesus you follow is different from the Jesus I follow, then we're not following the same Christ and we are not members of the same body. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? That ought to be clear. That ought to be understood. So the fundamentals of the faith, what we often call the fundamentals of the faith, have got to be in place before we can talk about any Christian unity that has any reality to it. Anything beyond that is just mere empty sentimentality. We've got to have a core of unified beliefs. And then we have to recognize that there are other doctrines about which we may differ and still be fellow members of the same body. And some people have as much difficulty with that as others have with the first concept. There are some people that are insistent that we can be unified with anybody who calls himself a Christian, regardless of what that one believes. And that's wrong. It's got to be based on the truth. To the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. There must be that basis of truth. That's essential. But it's not essential that we believe everything exactly alike in order to have unity, because, of course, what happens in that, if you keep drawing the circle tighter and tighter and tighter, pretty soon there's nobody left but you, yourself, and nobody else. Even in your own local church, there are going to be people that disagree on some things. So that just obviously won't work. Well, we'll take it up again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.